When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Than ever before.
Because radical doesn't mean crazy.
Hell yes, we're gonna take your AR-15.
With the help of the media, big tech, and the global elite, the left is attempting to seize control of my generation. It's time to fight back. It's time to let freedom ring. Hello, we are on the beginning of a new hour. We have Patrick Witt on. He'll be coming on in just a second. But actually, Patrick, can you hear me? Maybe I hit the wrong one. Hold on. Patrick, can you hear me? Oh, hold on. Patrick, can you hear me now? Sorry.
I can, yes. Good morning.
Sorry, I hit the mute button. Good morning, Patrick. I'm still trying to learn all this fancy technology. How are you doing, Patrick? Would you like to introduce yourself to the listeners?
Yeah, doing great. Thank you so much for having me on, Noah. It's a pleasure to visit with you and your audience this morning. As you mentioned, my name is Patrick Witt. I'm one of the candidates, one of the many candidates in Georgia's 10th District.
There are a lot of
former Trump administration official and serving on the president's post-election legal team.
Cool. So actually, let's talk about that. So I saw an article yesterday, read it a little bit. Maybe it was Daily Wire. The title was Cheap Mail is Back. Oh, that kind of sounds like a Breitbart title now that I think about it. The police in California arrested a man in a car with 300 unopened ballots, a lot of drugs, and some guns. Now, unfortunately, Patrick, those guns have now been sent to Afghanistan to the Taliban, but the drugs were not. So,
you know, they ought to send the ballots, too, because I think the Taliban might also want to cast some votes for Joe Biden these days.
I would.
You know, as you mentioned, you know, serving on the president's post-election legal team down here, I got to see it firsthand. And, you know, the media likes to trot out there that, you know, all these are conspiracy theories. They're debunked. Well, they're not debunked. They have never actually addressed these credibly. Judges found, you know, various loopholes and legal doctrines to try and avoid having to decide the issues. But election fraud is absolutely real. It was rampant here in 2020 in Georgia. We can talk more about the specific details of it. But again, yeah, I was on the ground and I researched all of that personally, led all the data analysis efforts and know it front and back. I wish I didn't. I wish we didn't have this problem. But it is real, and our leaders need to take action to close up all of the loopholes, the play in the joints, you know, whatever you want to call it. This is not an area where we can tolerate error.
Let's talk about it. I'm somebody who kind of paid attention to it, but not really, I guess, as much as you did because you were literally paid to pay attention to it. So really kind of let's talk about it. So walk me through as if I just woke up out of a coma and have no idea what's going on. Like where, you know, a lot of people are calling fraud on Dominion. A lot of people are calling fraud on voter verification. A lot of people are calling, you know, walk me through it.
Yeah. So there's different kinds of fraud. Obviously fraud, you know, is a very legal term, you know, has specific meaning to it. And the media loves to latch onto that and say, you know, fraud is specifically someone walking in, like you're talking about with 300 ballots, on behalf of, you know, someone else that those individuals didn't actually fill that out. That is, you know, what I might call retail fraud. Then there are a number of other issues with election systems, especially here in Georgia, which you can't necessarily say they're kind of retail fraud. You don't have a video of them walking into a voting location and dropping off a bunch of ballots or, you know, taking one out of someone's mailbox. But you have all of these issues with the data around numbers and entries that just don't add up. So I'll give one example. There are over 18,000 people that voted here in Georgia. That's well over the margin of victory for Joe Biden that were registered from vacant lots, right? So do those people exist? Did they actually fill out the ballot? Well, maybe. I can't necessarily say that that was purely fraudulent, but I can tell you that according to the election code, that's an illegal vote, shouldn't have been counted, right? The election code in Georgia requires you to be registered from your place of habitation. Mm-hmm. And obviously, if the USPS can't deliver mail there, there's no actual physical structure there, nobody's living there.
Listen, Patrick, I think I'm going to have to cancel you because you're being really, really, you're not being very, what's the word, tolerant to those who like to live in trees, okay?
There's another 900 or so that actually apparently live in P.O. boxes.
Yeah,
very small people here.
There was 200 of them in my county, Camden County, Georgia, I remember.
Exactly.
Roughly something like that. I'm sure you remember that as well. Somewhat.
Exactly. And I think the bottom line with this, you know, we brought the lawsuit, you know, and again, you know, judges found ways to not decide on the issues. No one actually addressed the merits, certainly not the Secretary of State's office. They have not produced one credible, countervailing piece of evidence. They just continually go out there. They offer conclusory statements, say this is, you know, they say 5,000, we say zero. It's like, all right, well, show me your proof because right. I can guarantee you because I know it. It was in our lawsuit. We have individual names of each individual voter, and they have not come out and addressed a single one of those. The bottom line of this is we wanted investigation. That's all we were asking for. We didn't want, you know, hey, overturn the election based on nothing. It's like we're bringing credible allegations, and we just want you to look into it. Do your job, right? We elect you to the Secretary of State's office, Lieutenant Governor, the Attorney General, the Governor. And we're asking them to do exactly the duties that they are entrusted with. Where the voters entrusted them to do a number of other things, right? But in these moments, they have the powers to investigate, and they didn't do anything. They sat on the sidelines, or in many cases, they worked actively against us. And I don't think, you know, anyone is coming back to the polls until we have elected leaders in there that do what they say they're going to do. And when it actually matters, when the heat gets turned up, they don't just tuck tail and run.
Yeah, I think you're 100% right on that because, and also they really should be wanting to do it because, hey, if you didn't know Brad is running for re-election somehow, I don't know. But if you didn't know this, Brad, you know, you were elected and you're running for re-election, so it should be your chief concern to, I don't know, maybe make sure that you at least get a fair shake. Now, for Brad, he probably doesn't want a fair shake because if he got a fair shake, he might get 3% of the primary vote. right. I mean, seriously, when I heard he was running again for re-election, I was like, what are you talking about? Like, how is he running again? He is not popular.
It is a mystery.
He must have cut a check to Dominion or something, Patrick.
There may be some ulterior motives or some... you know, different actors, maybe not Georgia Republicans, that are actually funding that re-election campaign.
Yeah, probably Democrat, probably the Lincoln Project. So tell me this. So, you know, obviously, you know, so what do you think really was the biggest? You think it was, because I think voter verification, signature verification is really, you know, something that needs to be looked at. I'm glad they kind of took it away in a way. But so what do you think really was the big problem in the election? Do you think it was voter verification? Do you think it was Dominion? Do you think it was people illegally registering? What do you think?
Yeah, so it all comes down to really, you know, two things. One, the absentee ballots, the massive expansion of absentee ballots used under the pretext of COVID to expand this. Actually, over five times the number of absentee ballots ever handled in the state of Georgia happened in 2020. We went from about 200,000 to over a million. So one is absentee ballots. The second is really the very long, you know, extended period of in-person voting that we have. The more you expand the number of days that you can vote and the number of ways that you can vote, you are expanding the aperture for fraud, right? So Stacey Abrams, we know her very well in this state, unfortunately. You know, we're giving her a massive opportunity to go out there with a ballot harvesting operation. They go into vulnerable communities and they offer potentially things of value. You know, they manhandle certain people that might be, you know, physically incapacitated. And you think about it, it doesn't take much to actually go out there and turn an election. Elections are decided, you know, especially in a closer state like Georgia. I wish it weren't this way, but you know, it doesn't take but, you know, 100 people going out there and getting 100 ballots each, and you've got, you know, 10,000 ballots there. So pretty quickly, you can have a massive voter ballot harvesting operation that adds up. But
you're 100%. Again, going back to, I think I was talking to one of David Perdue's advisors, and if in November he got somewhere in the neighborhood of 8,000 more votes, he would be our U.S. Senator right now.
Exactly. I think David Perdue has been very gracious and not making a big stink about it, but I think he should be as incensed as anyone, certainly as incensed as the president. And people should be as upset about that race. You know, I didn't crunch the numbers on that one, but I guarantee you I would find the exact same mess there. Mm-hmm. And he suffered the same, you know, overnight, you know, ballot spike that the president did, you know, which ultimately allowed John Ossoff to go to a runoff. I think, you know, people throw out the word white privilege. John Ossoff is the definition of white privilege. There has never been a less qualified, you know, less ready for the job senator as John Ossoff. It's a joke that the state of Georgia is represented by that clown.
I was talking to a guy named Mike who called in on the little bit of the last hour, and he was telling me when he started off that he had to call, he had to call Senator Cotton to try to get help to an Afghan refugee. And just imagine, I mean, Johnny Isaacson would have done it in a heartbeat. David Perdue would have done it in a heartbeat. You know, David Perdue was at the Naval Academy for a year, and then I think there was a medical issue or something before he had to unfortunately go to Georgia Tech. But these people would have dropped everything they're doing to try to help this person get back. I for one, am ashamed to be represented by those two. But okay, so we understand, you know, your politics. Unfortunately, with doing the live radio show, it's you got to keep your interview short, right? I could talk to you for 2 hours.
No problem.
So we understand, you know, election fraud, everything like that. Tell us a little bit more actually about you as a person.
Yeah, sure. So, second generation Georgian, you know, went to high school over in Gwinnett County, Parkview High School. I was a starting quarterback there. My brother was the quarterback before me. Went off to college, got to play football for 3 years, started at Yale, you know, went to work in the private sector, ultimately went back to Harvard Law School, graduated again, returned to the private sector. I was a management consultant, worked with some of the biggest, you know, companies out there. So we talk about, you know, kind of globalist multinational corporations. They're real and they don't give a, you know what about Americans. They care about the bottom line. You know, that is absolutely something that President Trump hit on. He was exactly right in 2016. I wish he had delivered that message a little bit more in 2020. But, you know, I ultimately went to serve under President Trump, was Deputy Chief of Staff of the Office of Personnel Management, which, you know, is an agency that, you know, $2.3 billion budget, 2,500 people, but in typical government fashion, most people don't know about it. It's an agency that, depending on the president, can either be very active or not active. Under President Trump, obviously draining the swamp, OPM was basically the enforcement wing of all of those policies. So we were leading the implementation of executive orders, trying to, you know, remove all the protections that various bureaucrats have and the unions. It's a complete mess. The U.S. government, you know, at the federal level is basically a big works program. You know, these folks can't be fired. The president can't even fire them. And you realize, you know, I was ignorant to it before going into the administration. You think when you vote for your guy or gal for president that, you know, things are going to change. And to an extent, they do. I'm not saying that leadership doesn't matter. It absolutely does at the top. But you are only affecting, the president only has the ability to appoint about 3,000 to 4,000 people in the federal government. And that's on a workforce of over 2.2 million people, and that's a pretty conservative estimate. So you're talking
doesn't
about
a lot of that. Doesn't a lot of that include the military, though? Aren't the military included in that 2 million people? Or is that actually pure workers?
Military is not included in that.
Golly, we got too many people working for the government. We got too many agents
that,
out here.
Yeah, that also does not include the intelligence community either.
So like the Pentagon?
Exactly.
God, that's the worst part. CIA?
CIA is not included in that. You know,
I don't
NSA,
trust the CIA.
All of that,
I don't. I don't care. I'll never trust the CIA.
Yeah. But you know, anyway, to kind of finish off the point, you realize when you work in in federal government, especially in the agency that I was working in,
sure,
we have to do more to dismantle this administrative state that we have, because the majority of the laws, the regulations, everything that affects your life are not really handled by Congress right now, because they've given away all their Article I powers to the executive branch. Congress has to take back those powers. We have to dismantle the administrative state, because there is no accountability for those bureaucrats. You can't vote them out. And again, you can't vote in a president who can then fire them because they have too many protections. They never actually get dismissed.
Right. I was in a class yesterday where it's a class about legal and it's a legal class, but it's a business legal class where you learn about regulations and this, that, the other. And he asked us, or he explained that the vast majority of quote unquote, you know, regulations that are made via somebody at the Department of the Interior, somebody at this office, this blah, blah, this bureau that you've never heard of. And he was asking, he said, you know, what do you guys think about this? And somebody raised their hand and go, oh, you know, these people are experts. I was like, yeah, obviously you never met anybody who works for the government. But I raised my hand and I said, I disagree with it. And he said, why? I said, because it's really hard to hold John, who's in cubicle 75 out of 2000, accountable, because I don't know he's the one who created it. But it's really easy to hold my congressman accountable because he voted for it. And that's really what we did. So really, I'm going to ask you a question here. Two things. One, why do you think that it is that Congress just decided, hey, yeah, the one power we have to make laws and legislation and regulations we'll give away? And two, do you think you could see a future where maybe that comes back? Because I think you know, regulations do harm a lot of business, not necessarily businesses from happening at all, just really delays many things getting through. I mean, as we saw when regulations were cut, we got a vaccine as quickly as we did.
Right. No, to answer your point, I think, you know, how did it start, and can we put the genie back in the bottle, so to speak? First question, I think it's difficult, right, to legislate. It's difficult to get into the details. And so it's easy for Congress just to outsource this. And back, you know, during, you might want to say FDR was really the expansion of the administrative state. They discovered that it was much easier for them to just outsource this, right? They pass a law, they bury it within a 1,000-page bill, and then it's somebody else's problem. And, you know, no one actually realizes until much later when the regulation gets passed. They jump up and down because their business gets shut down, rightfully so. And then they go back to their elected leaders, and maybe those elected leaders aren't even there anymore, right? It's a way to kind of bury and offload that burden of accountability. And so that's obviously for people that, you know, a lot of our elected leaders care more about getting reelected than they do about doing the right thing. That is a very appealing way to basically, you know, offload that responsibility. You know, can we put it, you know, reverse this course going forward? I absolutely think we can. I think at the end of the day, you know, if you're a believer in federalism as a conservative, you know, we are. Most of these regulations, most of these issues should be handled by the states. The federal government has been on a just continuous path of usurping all of the rights of the states, probably directly since the Civil War. And so I think the answer is, you know, a lot of these are not things that the federal level should be handling in the first place. They should be state regulations. And obviously the government that is, you know, closest to the people is going to be most responsive to them. Mm-hmm. The other thing is, I think, you know, bringing some of those functions back to Congress, you know, people will be aware of what the federal government is actually doing. And they might, you know, vote in people like me who believe that a lot of these are probably regulations that shouldn't exist at all. So it's a combination of, if we do need regulation, let the state do it. If we don't need the regulation, vote in people who are going to get rid of these regulations. It was one of the things that I loved about Trump, you know, kind of the slash and burn. For every one new regulation, we repeal two. It's mm-hmm. a great, simple policy. I think we could go back to that. Certainly the Biden administration is pumping out regulations at a record pace.
Do you think it was a coincidence that once he starts cutting a bunch of these regulations that the economy started taking off? I don't think it was a coincidence at all.
I don't think so at all. I think a lot of business leaders, you know, felt the breath of fresh air, and you know, they finally started investing again, and they were able to, you know, hire people mm-hmm. Without all the regulations that they have to go through for that. I mean, ultimately, at the end of the day, business, you know, I always find it funny, these governors and, you know, various elected leaders that go out there and take credit for the economic expansion that might happen under their watch. Government does not create jobs. We know that, right? And so the only thing you can really do as a government official is try and unwind the clock of all these regulations and try and free people up. They're going to create the jobs on their own. We have a lot of hungry people in this country, entrepreneurs, people with ambition. If you get off their backs, they will surprise you. They will impress you because Americans just have that. It's in our DNA. I've lived abroad. It's not everywhere. We have that, and we need to allow people to once more create their own American dream, right?
Right. So let me ask you. So let me ask you this: You are a quarterback at Yale, correct?
Correct.
You heard the story about the guy, the congressman or senator way back in the 1800s who broke a cane on the other senator, and then they kept sending him canes.
Calhoun. Yes.
Okay. So let me ask you this, because you know, freshman congressman, you'll probably sit in the back. How many footballs we got to send you? I'm gonna write your number down for you. Just keep throwing them at Nancy Pelosi. How many? You know, how many? I'll write it down. I'll make sure that we get it. How many are we talking?
I don't know. Just given the fact that she's existed for so long up there in D.C., she's probably pretty slippery. So I probably need, you know, at least 5 or 6 before I finally tagged her with one.
All right. We'll go ahead and write down 50.
50. I'll take them. I'll take them.
What? Okay. So, yeah, that's, yeah, that'd be funny. That'd be, I don't know if it's illegal, actually. You could say it was an accident. Say you're trying to play catch with Maxine Waters or something. So. Right. You've had a very interesting, you know, yes.
Not to interrupt you, one thing to mention, you mentioned Calhoun. He was recently a victim of cancel culture himself. So one of the colleges up at Yale is actually named after Calhoun, or rather was named for Calhoun, but he recently fell victim and his name was removed from all of the university buildings where it was located.
Well, you know, it is what it is. Cancel culture really is, you know, it's something, you know, it's the worst. I think it's the worst part of humanity personally. I mean, if we can't grow as a humanity, then we have no shot. I mean, people change all the time. I mean, you know, if we never progressed as a society, then Plessy versus Ferguson would still be the law of the land. And you and I obviously, right. But hopefully you and I've never directly asked you. Hopefully you and I both believe that's a terrible Plessy versus Ferguson was a terrible right. thing. I guess I've never asked you. Don't want to put words in your mouth.
Yes. No, I agree.
So, yeah, so we got about 5 more minutes here before we got to go back to break. So really tell me. So, I mean, first off, I do have another question. What is it about the 10th district? Does the 10th district congressman get paid an extra $50,000? Like, why are people who don't live in the district, I'm not going to say names, Timothy Barr, running for the 10th district? Like, what is it about the 10th? You guys love Jody Heiss that much? What's going on?
You know, I don't know is the short answer. There's definitely
there's other open seats.
Yeah, no, that's true. You know, I think, you know, maybe it's the makeup of the district itself. You know, obviously a lot of, you know, congressmen and women exist in swing districts, and that life of campaigning every 2 years, it really never ends. And so, you know, living in kind of permanent campaign mode, constantly having to raise money, fundraisers, obviously doesn't allow you to do the job of, you know, the congressman actually, you know, making policy. Sure, and being involved in the committee. So that would probably be my most generous interpretation of the number of people that have jumped in this race in particular. Is
what is the number? You know, as it,
I think it's 14.
Well, that's how many congressional districts we have.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, we could all distribute to a different one. Yeah. But I think, you know, in my mind, you know, it's the fact that it is as currently drawn, a safely red district. And so, you know, whoever does win this, I have confidence that we're going to get a great conservative out of this district. I believe that I am the right one. But even if not, I do think we are going to get a strong conservative, and I will certainly be holding them accountable if it's not me. But that person will have an opportunity to really make change happen within the House, because they won't have to focus constantly, as so many swing district congressmen do, on the constant fundraising and just kind of running a permanent campaign.
You know, that is true. You know, I think it probably does, you know, Marjorie Taylor Greene won election her first time by like 50 points. So it probably does. You're 100% correct by that. So we got about 3 minutes left. I'll let you kind of, you know, tell people where they can find you, how they, you know, can get involved, whatever it may be. So give them, you know, a 3-minute elevator pitch where they can find you and everything.
So the easiest way to find me, patrickwitt.com, W-I-T-T, patrickwitt.com. Folks can go there, read a little bit more about my background. As I mentioned, I'm a former football player, former Trump administration official, and certainly have, you know, a lot of war stories from fighting on the battlefield. You know, a lot of the other candidates in the race, they talk about fighting for election integrity, eliminating critical race theory. I've done those things. I've actually done them in government down here in Georgia, post-election, fighting on the president's legal team. So I have the battle scars, so to speak. And, you know, the challenge for me as a new candidate, A lot of people don't know my name, don't know my face. Well, that's because I've been busy actually doing all the things that all the other people just talk about. So I would love for folks to go to patrickwhitt.com, read a little bit more about me. I'm definitely a younger candidate in this field. I believe I am the youngest, or maybe there's one kid who's an activist who's a little bit younger. But
I think there's a 13-month-old baby running too.
I would not be surprised. But you know, part of my message is, you know, all the tax cuts we want to pass, you know, regulations we want to repeal, none of that matters if we continue to lose the next generation of young people. And a big part of what I will do if elected to Congress is I will continually engage, reach out to, go to high schools, go to middle schools, even talk to younger people and try and snatch them back from the jaws of socialism and communism.
Whoa. You're taking my job here. Calm down. That's where that's what I do. No, calm down, Patrick.
And, okay. Yeah, it's a partnership, and I value what you do. You're incredibly talented. You speak to people in a way that, you know, someone who's 60 years old and in retirement years just really can't, you know. And at the end of the day, it requires the right messenger in order to reach young people. And I believe I can appeal in that way. And again, if we don't do that, if we continue to allow young people to run into the arms of the Democrats, whether it's through, you know, indoctrination that they get at school or stuff that they see on social media and TV, then all is lost. None of the rest of it matters. And that's why it's so important to me as a younger guy in this race to make clear that I believe I am the right person to spread the message to younger people all over the country.
I think you're 100% right. And good congratulations. You were able to get patrickwhitt.com. Some guy reached out to me after I got noring.org because I guess I inquired about noring.com. They wanted to charge me like $4,000. The guy's name was Tyler. I was like, what the heck? $4,000 for, screw that. I bought noring.com, noring.online, vote noring. I bought all these things. I was like, this ain't happening no more.
Right. I think they're like digital squatters is what they call
it. It's smart though. Like I got a buddy who makes a lot of money off of it. If I found out he was the one who owned my name, I would be so mad. But Patrick, thank you so much for coming on. Call in anytime. It's always a pleasure talking to you. And we will be back on the next hour. We'll be taking your calls 904-441-8283. Again, 904-441-8283. Do you support law enforcement? I myself am proud to be a big supporter of law enforcement. That is why I've partnered with WeBackTheBlue.co. WeBackTheBlue wants to provide money to those who have fallen in the line of duty and help take care of the families of those who are no longer with us because they fought the good fight and defended our community and gave up the ultimate sacrifice. If you go to WeBackTheBlue.co, again, WeBackTheBlue.co, you can get a thin blue line bumper sticker, and all you have to do is pay $2.99 shipping and handling. Again, all proceeds from this promotion go back to helping the men and women of law enforcement who have given their lives. The money goes to taking care of their family. It's a great, great program. WeBackTheBlue.co. Again, WeBackTheBlue.co. Have you heard that everyone under the age of 25 is a socialist? I know I have. That's why I want it to be different, and that's why I created Satilla River Apparel. Look, it's no secret. I'm a big fan of the Second Amendment, and I'm a big fan of hunting. Even though the Second Amendment, we all know, was not created for hunting, I'm a big fan of hunting. And that being said, I'm a big fan of fishing as well. And that's why I created SatillaRiverApparel.com. Satilla River Apparel is great, great American-made quality clothes at a fraction of the cost of my competitors. And I've created it for those of you like me who like the outdoors, like going fishing, like going hunting, like going out on the boat on Saturday. If you'd like to pick one up, go to SatillaRiverApparel.com/Noah for 10% off. Make sure you put Noah in the promo code box for 10% off your order. Again, that is SatillaRiverApparel.com, SatillaRiverApparel.com. Are you someone like me who you want to eat healthy, but you're too busy to make a protein shake in the morning? That is why I eat Built Bar. Built Bar is 130 calories, only has 2.5 grams of fat, 4 carbs, and 4 sugar. No nuts. Has a lot of fiber, 17 grams of protein, and it's only 130 calories. I start my morning every day with a Built Bar. And that's why I'm glad to announce that they have sponsored this podcast. If you go to BuiltBar.com and you pick out whatever you want, then if you use code
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona Tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Let Freedom Ring, you'll get 12% off. That is builtbar.com. Use code Let Freedom Ring for 12% off. They have great things. They're way better than all of their competitors, in my opinion. Use builtbar.com code Let Freedom Ring for 12% off of your order. Again, builtbar.com. For those of you who live in the state of Georgia, I will be speaking at the Columbia County GOP. It's at the clubhouse on Jones Creek. I will be speaking there Saturday morning. Doors open at 8:30. Breakfast gets served at 9 a.m. I will be speaking there in Augusta, Georgia. I will also be speaking in Gilmer County, Georgia on September 4th. At the God and Country Civic Revival event, I'll be speaking alongside David Belisle, Vernon Jones, State Superintendent Richard Woods, and many other people. I do have a 20-minute spot, so they apparently think I can keep people entertained for that long, so make sure you come out. I would love to, anybody who picked up my book, The ABCs of Politics, from the eyes of a high schooler, I'd love to sign it for you, and I'd love to meet each and every one of you. It's always humbling to meet you guys. So again, that's Gilmer County on September 4th and Columbia County this Saturday, August 28th. Also, if you live in the state of Georgia and you are tired of how the AJC and the other liberal elite papers cover the state, I started a new podcast called Let's Talk Georgia. Here's what that intro sounds like.
Are you tired of your news being watered down by the mainstream elite in Atlanta? Well, if so, you're in the right place. My name is Noah Ring, and this is Let's Talk Georgia, your place to keep up with everything happening in Georgia without any of the bias.
So if you like what you heard there in the intro, definitely was not made by me because I'm not that good with audio interfacing. But if you like what you heard, check it out everywhere you listen to podcasts. If you're listening to this not live but on podcast, you can click RingX Media and it will take you to Let's Talk Georgia. It's a great show. We have great guests coming on. We had Burt Jones on last week. We have Jake Evans on this week. Give it a shot. And without further ado, we are back and you are listening to the fastest growing podcast and radio show hosted by a college conservative. Let Freedom Ring.
Freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction.
Free speech is under assault like never before.
Freedom is under attack more now than ever before.
Because radical doesn't mean crazy.
Hell yes, we're going to take your AR-15.
With the help of the media, big tech, and the global elite, the left is attempting to seize control of my generation. It's time to fight back. It's time to let freedom ring. Hello, hello, everybody. We got about 25 minutes left before you can go and listen to somebody a little bit more entertaining. We do have a guest on for this last 25 minutes. His name is Joshua, GOP Josh, he goes by. And Josh, can you hear me? Are you on the show?
Hello, hello.
Josh, good to have you on. I've known Josh for a while. Josh is way smarter than I was at 15, I believe you are, Josh, correct?
15, yes, yes.
Cool. And Josh, now, if I'm correct, you wanted to talk about the Ohio Senate races, correct?
Yes, I do. You talk a lot about Georgia, which I understand it's your home state, but Ohio is my state, and I want to talk about that to you today.
Well, yeah, well, you're lucky. You live in a red state. I live in a socialist state, it feels like. So let's talk about it. So
luckily, Ohio's a red state.
So
I remember.
Yeah, I remember the good times when my state was a red state. But so let's talk about it. So you explain it, actually. I guess you're the expert.
I mean, so there's a lot of candidates in this race. I think there's like 6 or 7 now, at least, Republican-wise. There's like 2 Democrats. But, I mean, they're all clinging to Trump's name, which is really interesting to watch. Some that were anti-Trump, some that called Trump supporters racists. Now clinging to Trump's name like it's their only hope at getting elected. It's just really interesting to me with that.
Got any names
to say? I
want to
know your thoughts.
Drop some names, Josh. Who are we talking about?
I'll drop some names.
This show does go live in Ohio, so be careful.
Oh, well, apparently God wouldn't like the Trump voters because they're racist, according to J.D. Vance. Oh, let's see here. Josh Mandel just was gone for like 2 years after he lost.
Where'd he go?
There's the two biggest ones there, the two front runners that are clinging to Trump's name.
So what is this? Is this now you endorsed Jane Timken?
Yes, Timken. Yes.
Yeah, I've been trying to get her on the show, but she, her team is being very slow getting back. I was like, fine, don't come on. Doesn't bother me. I got people calling me all the time trying to get on. So fine, I can fill time. So yeah, okay. So let's also talk. So you, it's probably about a month ago now. You supported Mike Kerry as well for Congress.
Yes.
What made you support Mike and Jane?
So starting with Mike Kerry, I met Mike before Trump's endorsement. He came to a really small town near me called London, Ohio. It's in the district, mm-hmm. and he came and spoke, and I joined him. I didn't speak obviously, but I joined him, talked to him, and he was really articulate with what his ideas were. He was able to respond to any question anyone in the crowd threw out, even when one of them was about a state issue and he's running for a federal office.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. And he was with Corey Lewandowski, and Corey Lewandowski gave an amazing testimony on behalf of Mike Kerry. And that pretty much, not his endorsement alone, but before Trump endorsed, I endorsed Mike Kerry just from meeting him, talking to him, looking into the other candidates in the race. All of them were career politicians or businessmen who live out of the district.
Mm-hmm.
And Mike Kerry seemed like the best option with that. And I think we're going to do really good on November 2nd as well, after winning the primary in a landslide on August 3rd.
Well, it's a very red district. It's a very red district too. So let's get into Jane. What made you support Jane?
So with Jane Timken, I looked into Josh Mandel. I knew J.D. Vance was going to run. Josh Mandel has some shady things in his past. I think he's like almost $2 million of taxpayer money for an ad campaign. Only like 50,000 people signed up for a government service or something with Urban Meyer, which is the former Ohio State coach.
Hey, he's now gunslinging with Trevor Lawrence down there in Duval County, Florida.
Yeah. But with Josh Mandel, he ran those ads, and he's very Twitter-based. He's trying to run on that Trump Twitter, I can say these things on Twitter that makes me qualified to run for Congress or run for Senate. He's ran two other times. This is his third run. He's failed every time. He didn't do a great job as treasurer, and I honestly just couldn't get behind supporting him. I don't think he's as conservative as he claims. That's just my opinion on him. And J.D. Vance, I obviously said, he is clinging to the Trump name. And I don't think you can change from being a Trump hater. I think his name is Evan McMullen, the Libertarian in 2016.
Sure.
And the Independent in 2016 that he supported, saying all Trump supporters are racists, to 5 years later clinging to the Trump name as your only hope of getting elected. That doesn't sit well with me, especially mm-hmm. when that's all he's using it for is to get elected. So that's why I support Jane Timken. She's the only true candidate in the race who supported President Trump from the beginning when it was not the greatest thing for her. I mean, John Kasich had the Ohio Republican Party overran with a bunch of anti-Trump rhinos. She stood out against the crowd.
Don't think there's any John Kasich people here. I think it'll be fine.
No, I just couldn't remember his name for a second.
No, you're fine. I'm just telling you. Nobody likes him here.
He had the party overran with a bunch of anti-Trump rhinos. Jane Timken came in, got Trump's endorsement for that, and took over the party, helped it become a well-oiled machine, as she likes to say. I worked for the Ohio Republican Party in 2020 under Jane Timken's leadership. I never actually had the opportunity, of meeting her, but she is a great candidate from what I've heard. She ran a great party in 2020, mm-hmm. and I think she has what it takes to be a conservative leader in the Senate.
Cool. Okay, so if you live in Ohio, you know, GOP Josh has been a good friend of mine for probably about over a year now. I don't even know. It sounds like Jane Timken, and obviously you don't really have a choice in it with Mike Kerry. It's actually funny because Josh Mandel does follow me on Twitter, so it'd be funny if he does watch this. Well, but
I've heard that he's kind of revoking follows from people who say one negative thing about him.
I didn't say anything negative about him. You said negative. So
well, no.
Anyway, but, so yeah. So let me ask you this: let's get a little bit away from Ohio for a second. So, you know, I finally get to be the one who interviews a young conservative, right? I'm always the young conservative getting interviewed. So what made you decide? Because, you know, when I met you, you were 14. Now you're an old man at 15. What made you decide that you really wanted to pursue politics, be a conservative, say, hey, Donald Trump's a good guy? What really, you know, made you want to do that?
Yeah, so I I got into politics, funny, around 2016. I was like 8. I was watching the debates because there was nothing else on TV at the time. And I originally supported, unfortunately, Marco Rubio. And then I supported Ted Cruz. So I still support Ted Cruz, just not for president right now, obviously, because he's not running. And then I supported President Trump, not after Ted Cruz dropped out, but I kind of changed my support throughout that primary, just watching what was on TV. And what made me get involved was I saw the state of the country. Watching the news, because I went to a babysitter every morning because I live out of my school district, watching the news every day, seeing how in shackles the country was, to be completely honest. I saw that there was a problem with this. I saw that Trump was going to do these great things for this country, which he did, promises made, promises kept. And I really think that that's why I got involved. But I think that he was the greatest candidate in 2016. I think he was obviously the best candidate in 2020. And I got involved because I saw what was happening to our country, and it wasn't a good – I don't know how to say this. It wasn't how I envisioned the country.
Yeah, so let me ask you this. How's Joe Biden doing as Commander-in-Chief? What do you think?
Oh, so obviously the failure in Afghanistan, I think it was a good idea to withdraw the troops. I don't think the way he did it was in the best way. I think we should have withdrawn the troops after we killed Osama bin Laden. That was our original goal. We shouldn't have been nation building the country. So I completely agree with him there. But I think the way he withdrawed was a failure. I think this was a severe misjudgment on his part, just pulling out whenever he decided to pull out right before September 11th. I wonder what problems could come from that. But with that, he failed on the border. He's failed on everything else he's put his hands on. This infrastructure bill, a big waste of money, in my opinion, that he's trying to sign into law. Hey, I don't think
he's trying to give every American chocolate chip ice cream. Okay, you calm down there.
Oh, the chocolate chip. You know, I tried chocolate chip after seeing that clip. It's not that good. All you can taste is the chocolate.
I'm more a mint chocolate chip guy myself.
I just like peanut butter. But he's failing. I don't think anyone doubted that he was going to fail when he started running and he was stuttering every other word, which I am right now, but I'm just nervous. But I really don't think he is the best candidate. I don't think he's the greatest country this country's or greatest president. I'm sorry, this country's ever had, as some liberals wanted to portray him online. I really think that he's failing at his job right now.
So I don't know if you listened earlier. I think you did listen a little bit. In March, 55% of people thought the country was on track. I don't know where they were, but now 31% of people do. What do you so? Obviously, you're 15 years old. You haven't seen a lot of elections. You saw the 2020 election. Maybe you paid attention to 2018. I'm not sure. But really, what do you think is going to happen come these midterms?
Well, we know, like you said earlier, I was listening to the show. The president's party always loses seats, or usually it's most common to lose seats because they're tired of how the president's doing or whatever goes into that. Mm-hmm. I think this is going to be one of the largest red waves we've seen. Because Biden is failing at his job. People are opening their eyes. Even people on CNN, I've heard people – I don't watch CNN, but I've heard people complaining about Joe Biden on CNN. He's absolutely failing at his job, and people are starting to realize that. And they realize the only way to avoid two more years of failure when it comes to 2022 is to elect Republicans who are going to stop his radical agenda, and that starts with electing – House members and Senate members who are going to be true conservative leaders to stop the radical agenda and true – fighters. They're not going to bow to the knee like Rob Portman has with this infrastructure bill. Like I'm talking about Ohio again. They're going to have strong leaders who are going to stand up to this terrible legislation. And that is why I think it's going to be a huge red wave come 2022. I don't have exact numbers in my predictions yet, but I think we are going to have a very nice majority in both the House and the Senate.
Yeah, I was talking to my congressman a couple of months back, and this was before Joe Biden sunk so low in the polls. And he said that They had identified about 40 seats that they think are that could be competitive in, probably at least 30, and some of those in Ohio, I'm sure, some of those in Georgia, all across the country. And also a big thing is with some of these districts being moved from California, from New York to places like Texas and Georgia, or Florida, sorry, Georgia didn't gain any. Florida gained like 2, Texas gained like 3. It'll be really interesting moving forward. So Josh, what is your, so what exactly, you know, do you, obviously I know what you do, but for the people listening, you know, what do you do? Where can people learn more about GOP Josh, learn more about, you know, I think you have a great voice in terms of the young conservatives, the true young conservatives as well. And I think you're a really honest guy, and yeah, I'll call you a guy. I don't think you're a kid. I remember I used to hate being called a kid when I was your age doing interviews. So what do you think, where can people find you? Where can they stay in touch with you? And after you do that, where, what do you think the future of the country is? What do you think there?
Yeah. So my website is gopjosh.com. You can find all my social medias and everything there.
Yeah. His cell phone number is, no, I'm just kidding.
No. We're not going to do that.
Yeah, we won't.
But
do that.
Yeah, my website is jopjosh.com. And what I'm doing right now is I volunteer with campaigns in my area, knocking on doors. I don't know exactly how many I knocked, but I knocked doors and made phones for Mike Carey, obviously, in this past primary, because it was a very competitive primary. There were like 12 candidates in there. Half of them didn't even live in the district.
Wait. Let's take a sidebar. You think you can get Mike Carey on the show? I want to interview Mike Carey. You think you can get him on?
I'll do my best.
I need your help, man. I need your help.
I'll do my best.
The listeners want them.
All right. Well, I'll try. I'll send this to my guys over at the Carey campaign.
Do it. Send it to the Temkin campaign too. I'd like to have her on.
I don't have as many connections in there, but I'll do that as well. But yeah, what I'm doing is I'm working with campaigns, volunteering there. I'm doing independent social media works. I have like 4,000 followers almost on TikTok, which I know TikTok's like a cringe app, but almost 4,000 followers on TikTok. I have about 1,500 on Twitter, trying to get that number up. But I'm advocating for these candidates on my show, the Conservative Crusader, trying to get true. Thank you. Trying to get true conservatives into these spots. I mean, Mike Carey was a true conservative in OH15. I think that I'd like to think that I helped with that campaign a little bit, knocking on doors, making phone calls, making social media posts. But with that, I'm really trying to work on the front lines, grassroots wise, with campaigns, trying to make sure that conservatives are elected, because we have too many rhinos in Congress. We have too many, like I said, Republicans in name only. We have too many non-conservative Republicans in office that really don't want to conserve anything morally or conservatively, and not morally, but socially or conservatively, and economics either. And I really think that we need to move forward with more conservatives and conservatives like you and I, trying to reach out to these true conservative campaigns, trying to make sure that they are being represented by the younger generation, getting some of that Gen Z vote, getting some of that millennial vote, and working to grow their presence. And that's what I'm doing right now.
Yeah, no,
sorry,
I think
it was a very messy answer.
You're fine. I think you're doing great work. You know, I think it'll be rewarding in the future. I think I was doing it for 2-3 years before I even hit my first 10,000 followers. You know, and the Conservative Crusader is great. It's a great thing. It's a great show. That comes out, what, Thursdays at 3?
Thursdays at 3, yes.
Okay, cool. So actually I can listen to it on my way to between classes. So perfect. So Josh, you know, obviously supporting Mike Carey, supporting Jane Temkin, gopjosh.com, correct?
Yes.
Sorry, it's still early in the morning. Are you in Central or are you in Eastern time? I always forget.
Eastern time, yes. Okay, Ohio cool. is all Eastern.
Yeah, I'm having a Ohio Senate candidate on tomorrow, or not Ohio, Oklahoma Senate candidate on tomorrow, and I was like, yeah, you probably want to call in on the second hour, because it'll be a little bit later in the day for you. But yeah, so the Conservative Crusader, what do you have? You got anything in the works that we can know about? Maybe a book, maybe something like that. Come on, keep the people engaged.
Not a book. I've been trying to grow my presence with that, with my op-eds at gopjosh.com/opinions, all self-published, all written and edited by myself. So if there's grammatical errors, blame me. But that's what I'm doing right now. I'm just trying to advocate for a conservative future for now. I'd like to write a book in the future, if you have any connections with that, but not really anything big in the works right now.
I have a publishing contract with a publishing company to write 2 books for.
All right. Well, we'll have to get in touch about that, but nothing big right now. Just trying to work on my show, growing my presence so I can continue working for these campaigns online, trying to make sure that they are represented and the Gen Z vote is getting out. The Gen Z conservative vote is getting out for true conservatives, not just the conservatives Fox News likes to pump up on their shows.
Okay. Well, I got about 3-4 more minutes with you, Josh, before I got to wrap up the show. So Josh, anything you want to, how about this? I'm going to do a fire round. I'm going to say the name of a policy, of a person, of a politician. You let me know what comes to mind, okay?
All right, great.
All right, constitutional carry.
Very important.
Okay, Mitt Romney.
Ugh.
Is that your answer? Okay.
Yeah, that's my answer.
Donald Trump.
The fighter we need for the MAGA, obviously the MAGA movement, the conservative movement, to move away from the Mitt Romney Republicans.
Okay. So, Josh, do you know what is the first election you'll be able to vote in? 2024? Because you won't be able to vote
2024,
by
2024. You won't be able to vote
by 2022. People don't understand this. Primaries are the most important, really. It really is. Because
I'll be 17, but Ohio law says I can still vote in primaries.
Yeah, because, you know, yeah, I think Georgia law is like that, too. You can vote in, as long as you're 17 and a half, because it's like a six-month gap, you're able to vote in the primaries, I do believe. I could be wrong. I'm not a lawyer. We should have asked the last guy.
That's
on.
How
the
it
last
is in
guy,
Ohio. That's how it is in Ohio.
The last guy was a lawyer. We should have asked him. Well, yeah, because primaries kind of aren't like a constitutional thing, but they kind of are now. It's weird. All right, so Josh, like I said, so GOPJosh.com. He's a great young conservative. I've been following him probably for what? I don't know, a year and a half, 2 years. I don't even know how long. It's been a while. You do great work, man. Please keep it up. Please come on. We can make this a weekly thing if you want it. You come on, you know, we'll find a time every week. We come on, we talk about something. What do you think about that, Josh?
I could try.
We can. No, that's all we can ask for, as long as you try. But yeah, so GOPJosh.com. Again, GOPJosh.com. I do want to ask you one last question before I let you go. I know you probably got some schoolwork to get done today because you are 15. What is it? How do you feel that the leading white supremacist in California is Larry Elder? How do you feel about that?
Well, with the governor race in California, I honestly am not supporting any Republicans. I know that's very hypocritical for my name because I don't think a Republican could get anything done. For the optics, I think it's really hilarious that Larry Elder is the leading white supremacist in the state, just for obvious reasons. Mm-hmm. But if we're talking about the election more generally, a conservative is not going to get anything done besides say, I'm a Republican and I get elected to California. That's the only serious thing that's going to get done. And I don't agree with all of his policies, but I want you guys looking to meet Kevin Pathrack. Have you heard of that name before?
I do know Meet Kevin.
Yes, he's a Democrat. He describes himself a JFK style Democrat. He says he's 51-49, so he's not really on either side. And I know we're talking about Larry Elder, but I think he's a better choice for Republicans in the state of California, because Larry Elder, obviously, it'd be monumental for a Republican, especially a black Republican, to get elected in the state of California. But I really don't think the identity politics is more important than getting something done for the state. I mean, I'm not in that state, so I can't say anything about that, really. Mm-hmm. But I really do think a moderate Democrat, a very, very moderate Democrat, would be a better option than Gavin Newsom, and maybe a better option than Larry Elder, because there's a veto override majority. There is a executive order override majority in the legislature in California, so he really won't get anything done.
Yeah, I think you're 100% correct. He could get rid of the mask mandates, I believe. But GOP Josh, thank you so much for coming on. I will make sure that we send people to GOPJosh.com. Josh is a great young conservative, and I really do think he'll be a big fighter for liberty. Thank you so much for coming on, Josh.
Thank you for having me on.
Yeah, of course. We're going to do this every week. Yeah, Josh really is, you know, a really great guy. He really is. Good friend of mine. We have a good show coming for you tomorrow. We got Al Robertson coming on from the Duck Dynasty family. He apparently now has a beard, which is really cool. Al's a good friend. He's coming on tomorrow. We'll be taking your calls again tomorrow. So I'm really looking forward to tomorrow. I'm really enjoying the success, roughly, that this show has been having so far in its first week. And we'll have a great show. I will not have a show on Friday, unfortunately, because I have to speak the night before that I agreed to before I started doing this thing daily. So there won't be no show Friday. So I apologize for that. I'm working on trying to get a guest host. It's kind of hard to find somebody who wants to wake up and do a 7 to 9 a.m. So I'm trying to get a guest host. We'll see how that goes. But make sure if you have any questions at all, you email them to me, noah@noahring.org. Again, that's noah@noahring.org. Please email them to me. Go ahead and save the phone number, 904-441-8283, 904-441-8283, to call in tomorrow, because we will be taking your phone calls live from 7 to 9. I think what I really want to do is, ideally, I want the Friday show eventually to be where I all the Friday show is taking phone calls for the most part, unless something crazy happens. I want the Friday show to be where I'm just purely pretty much taking phone calls. But I really do appreciate the support that we've been getting so far. We've had a great show. Really quickly, in the next 4 minutes, we got to cover this. Joe Biden was 5 hours late to a press conference, but we're building back better. That's what he said. It marks the third time this week he's hosted a press conference and not taken a single question. I remember when the left personally used to attack Trump for not answering certain questions, but Biden doesn't answer any questions. So I guess if you're a Republican listening to this in the future, just don't answer any questions at all. Just turn around while the country is on fire, while the Middle East is on fire, while we have a gas crisis, an inflation crisis, a Middle Eastern crisis, and every type of crisis, a border crisis, while we have all these crises, just do not answer any questions at all. The Taliban accepted a no extension deadline. And what that means is the CIA director, and I'll never trust the CIA, I don't really care, said that he met with, you know, the leaders of the Taliban and tried to request some sort of extension. And I think perhaps he should have given them chocolate ice cream. I think that really would have helped. But the Taliban said that there would be consequential circumstance. It'd be consequential if we're not out by August 31st. We're already back to Obama. I feel like I'm a 13-year-old again, living under President Obama. Crimea is about to get, annexed again. But really, we are back to Obama. Pallets of ballots, pallets of cash that you and I sent to the federal government will be in the hands of the Taliban before the end of the year. You can take that to the bank. You are listening to the fastest growing show in America, the Let Freedom Ring radio show. U.S. allies turn to Russia for help. The Germany, the U.K., French, and Italy have turned to Vladimir Putin because they think he is more reliable than President Joe Biden. And I don't know what that shows about anything other than President Joe Biden is less trustworthy than, I guess you could call him president. I would call him dictator Vladimir Putin. That's personally. Make sure you go to PatrickWitt.com. Make sure you go to BogusForCongress.com. Make sure you go to GOPJosh.com if you want to learn more about any one of my guests. GOPJosh.com, BogusForCongress.com. That's B-O-G-G-U-S for Congress.com. And Patrick Witt, PatrickWitt.com. Thank them all for coming on. They're all good friends of mine. So without further ado, that is the end of the show for today. I will see you here tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. Make sure you get ready to call 904-441-8283, 904-441-8283. Thank you so much, and you guys have a good rest of your day.
Freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction.
Free speech is under assault like never before.
Freedom is under attack more now than ever before.
Because radical doesn't mean crazy.
Hell yes, we're going to take your AR-15.
With the help of the media, big tech, and the global elite, the left is attempting to seize control of my generation. It's time to fight back. It's time to let freedom ring.
What if I told you that you can support your blood pressure and healthy CoQ10 levels with 2 chews a day? The new Super Beats Heart Chews Advanced is now supercharged with CoQ10. That's like getting CoQ10 for free. Our powerful blend of beetroot, grapeseed extract, and CoQ10 supports your cardiovascular health. Visit RadioBeats.com and find out how you can get a free 30-day supply on bundles and save 15% with the promo code DEAL.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.